What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I'm your co-host, Hearns, joined, as always, by my good buddy, Tyler O. And today, we are going to take an article series that I have been working on for the website and putting it into podcast form. We are going to have some fantasy face-offs. Two players at the same position that have pretty similar ADP price tags right now, and we're going to figure out which one we ultimately prefer. Because those are the types of decisions that you redraft managers out there are going to have to make soon here in 2025. So sit back, relax, enjoy our conversation. But before we get into that exercise, of course, I got to ask my boy, Mr. Tyler O, how you doing?
Things are good, dude. Things are good. Redraft season is upon us. The boys and I are really trying hard right now to find a draft date for the home league. If you're listening to this now, I've probably said this the last couple of weeks, but I feel like I just got to keep hammering home at least till we get it sorted out. So if you don't have your draft date figured out, you got to do it. People are busy. They got lives. If you're in your 30s, some people have kids. They have jobs. You can't just do that. So I was like, right, we almost found a draft date, Herms, and we had one guy who couldn't do it. And it was like a legitimate reason. Like it was like a funeral for like his grandmother, and they were like going to spread some ashes. So it's not like we could really like yell at him about not being able to do the draft date. But it's like, so now we're just like, you know, we're throwing around, do we do a slow draft? Nobody wants to do a home league or redraft slow draft. Nobody wants to do a redraft slow draft ever. Even if you can't be live in person, you want to do it live with like, you know, 1-2, maybe 3 minute clock, whatever you like.
Oh, for sure.
But right now we're good. We're rolling. Things are good. Getting the draft date set. Redraft content is starting to take over from the dynasty stuff. Not that we're going to stop talking about dynasty, not that we're going to, you know, stop publishing dynasty stuff. But it feels good. It feels like the season's here. I think we're just about 2 months away from the season kicking off. Life is good, Herms.
Yeah, it's pretty great, man. Like I said up top, this is an article series that I've been doing. Two players, similar ADPs, this or that. Whatever you prefer, that's what we're going to do. So we'll start by going over a couple wide receivers that, you know, I think, honestly, either one you take, you're going to be happy. Puka Nacua or Malik Nabers in 2025.
So nothing against Puka Nacua. I think he's extremely talented, clearly has wide receiver one overall upside. But I think I've been talking about this almost at nauseum for the better half of 2025 here, and it's going to be Malik Nabers for me. You know, in 2024, so take a look back real quick, turned 170 targets from Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, and Tommy Cutlets DeVito into 109 catches, 1,200 yards, and 7 touchdowns, finishing as a wide receiver 7 as a rookie. With probably, arguably, I think the Raiders have probably a good case, but let's just say one of the worst quarterback rooms in all of the NFL, wide receiver 7 as a rookie. And this is where I think people disagree with me, and I think this is where there's a little bit of divisiveness here, is I truly do view Russell Wilson, Jameson Winston, and Jackson Dart as upgrades. And let me just kind of dive a little bit deeper into that. One, Jackson Dart is my favorite quarterback in this class. I like him more than Cam Ward. There's really no one else there at this point in time, but I like him more than Cam Ward. Jameis Winston, I'm not necessarily saying he's a good real-life quarterback. There's a reason he's a backup, but he is a fantasy kingmaker. I mean, look what he's able to do for the Browns last season. Wherever he's been, he's propped up fantasy wide receivers because he plays YOLO ball. Throws the ball 50 times a game, gets a couple picks, doesn't care, willing to air it out. It's great for fantasy and especially great for wide receivers. And Russell Wilson, probably the least exciting option for the Giants this year, but people seem to forget that during the middle of the year, there was like a 6-7, maybe 8-game stretch where we saw Russell Wilson play with George Pickens. During that stretch, George Pickens was a top 10 wide receiver. And while, you know, Pickens is a solid wide receiver in his own right, Nabers is in a different league in terms of talent as a separator, as a weapon. So I'm not worried about Russell Wilson being able to, like, maintain a top 10 wide receiver. He literally did it last year with George Pickens. So for me, it's just you can't really go wrong. And I think that's where people just look at it. At face value, like, oh, we don't know who's going to start. Are they going to be any good? I think they're all better options than what Malik Nabers had last year. And I think that Russell Wilson being the least desirable of the three for fantasy still is fine because we've seen him prop up picking. So for me, Nabers is the guy that I have as a ranked wide receiver 3 overall. I do have Nacua at 5. I have CeeDee Lamb at 4. So like still, I'm not hating on Nacua. I still have drafted some of him in best ball. But in terms of having to pick a this or that, for me, it's Malik Nabers, no questions asked, especially because Nacua is going to have to deal with Davante Adams. And Davante Adams is going to command a real target share there. And for me, Kyren's going to be eating the ball all the time. You look at the Giants side of the ball, there's not really another pass catcher there to contend with him whatsoever, especially not of Davante Adams level. And then they still and the running back situation isn't great. I mean, I think Tyrone Tracy's a fine running back. Scadabo might be okay. But at the end of the day, it's neighbors for me, no questions asked.
No, I completely agree with you. That's the conclusion that I reached in my article as well. The Giants' quarterback play is not as big of a concern as people are making it out to be. And one of the things that I've researched that I found to be pretty interesting that I wanted to share with our podcast audience is that the quarterback situation, even last year, depending on how you look at it, wasn't that bad either. So consider the fact, this is according to Pro Football Reference, Malik Nabers' passer rating when targeted last year was at 93.8. League average was actually 92.3. So when you really think about it, like, yes, on the surface level, they were able to at least put up league average quarterback play. And we all tend to agree that the quarterbacks that are there now are better than they were in 2024. So just, I think it kind of means you have to land on Malik Nabers, you know? And the Devontae Adams part is a little bit easy to, you know, kind of cast aside because of the fact that, you know, the Sean McVay offense has supported multiple top receivers several times, you know, Cooper Kupp. But tiebreakers are the ones that you have to consider the most when we're talking about receivers being drafted this high. So according to our ADP, yeah, Puka Nacua, wide receiver 5, Malik Nabers, the next pick after at wide receiver 6. You do have to care about these small reasons. And for those very small reasons, Malik Nabers isn't sharing with anybody. We talk about the Giants every now and then on this show, and that's kind of the thing we come back to.
I don't even know, man. There's no other wide receiver I want any. And I have no interest in. I'm not drafting any other Giants pass catchers. That's just, it's that simple. That's really all you have to tell yourself.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm weirdly down for the whole Wandale Robinson thing, just in case they feel like giving him a million targets again. But fair. Other than that, we're in agreement on that one. We've got a couple more that we're going to talk about, but we will get to those on the other side of this commercial break. And welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. It is your boy Herms, it is your boy Tyler O, and we are having ourselves a fun little game of fantasy face-off. The next couple of players we are going to be talking about are some running backs with very similar ADPs. We're both pretty sure that these guys are going to have workhorse roles. Kyren Williams, RB11, Chase Brown, RB12, right there, back-to-back. You do have to pick one. You can't draft both unless they're lucky to be around for you at the turn. So between those two guys, which running back would you lean towards, Mr. Tyler O?
This is definitely a situation where I could see myself mixing or matching throughout my drafts. I like both these guys pretty much the same. Got them ranked back to back, but that's not what the show is. The show is picking one. So I'll be picking Kyren Williams over Chase Brown. And here's why. So look at kind of the way things have gone here. I think what's funny here, too, is both these guys had pretty, I would say, prolific college careers. And both these guys were late round NFL draft picks. Both weren't expected to really do too much at all in the NFL. And, like, frankly, didn't do anything in their first season, which is like they have a similar trajectory when you kind of look at things from
look
that
regard. Now.
So it's look at them now. But Kyren Williams did, you know, he's got two back-to-back seasons. He finished in 2023 as the running back 6, finished running back 7 last year. Chase Brown finished 12 last year, right? So Chase Brown maybe is just getting started. Kyren has already been here. I think one of the main reasons that I'm leaning Kyren is, well, I think they both are great picks to have. I mean, I'd be pretty okay with both of them as my RB1 if I went pretty heavy with the wide receivers early. Is Kyren, I don't think no one's knocking on his door. And while I'll get to Chase in a second, because the same thing we said with Chase, is he's really cemented himself into this workhorse role for 2 full seasons. And that's something I really like to see. They took Corum last year, right? People thought he was going to come in and take it. He didn't. They didn't really take anyone of note this year, the Rams. I know there's people out there like Jarquez Hunter, not buying it. Day 3 pick, whatever. So for me, it's just things are solidified here. I don't see anyone going in and taking his spot whatsoever. Shifting into Chase Brown, while I think he's probably solid, he did split with Zach Moss for half the year, right? Zach Moss got hurt, and then Chase Brown took over. They didn't really have anyone else behind him. What's really interesting about Chase Brown for me is you look at just the subset of where Chase Brown was like the full-time starter. So if you take that like week 9 and on, he was the running back 6 overall. Kyren was the running back 8. The issue with Chase Brown for me, so they're pretty similar. The issue with Chase Brown for me is What if they do decide to mix in Zach Moss 20 or 30% of the time? What if Samaje Perine does come in on some pass downs? You know, what if, you know, I guess Taj Brooks is kind of like Jerkwiz Hunter. I'm not really sweating it whatsoever. But, like, I have some concerns that Zach Moss or Samaje Perine might take 30% of the snaps. While that doesn't sound necessarily like a big deal, that does kind of put Chase Brown back into low-end RB1, high-end RB2 territory. And the volume that I think we expect, volume can never be totally expected at running back. Volume can't be expected at any time in the NFL. But I feel safer about Kyren Williams' volume in 2025 than I do Chase Brown's, because we've seen that volume sustained for two seasons. Unlike Chase Brown, we've only seen it sustained for half a season, and that was due to injury. So let's just say Samaje Perine gets 25-30% of snaps, comes in on pass downs. Chase Brown might not finish as an RB1. So I just, there's a little bit of concern, I think, with Chase Brown's workhorse roles that hasn't been solidified as long. And for those of the reasons, I think I lean towards Kyren if given the choice.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kyren Williams. And some of the reasons why actually tie into the reasons I was a little bit nervous about Puka Nacua. So as I was going through, just looking at what this Rams offense has been, especially over the last few years, because they're not the same version as like the Super Bowl winning team that we saw, or even their time, you know, the Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, all these guys out there at the same time, just throwing it everywhere. Everything is bananas. That's not how they've been playing. They want to run the ball a ton. I'm not sure that is necessarily true, or at least as true, in Cincinnati, where what did the Bengals do this offseason? They made it their entire focus to pay their top two receivers, keep everybody around, and just honestly completely neglect the defense. Because why is Trey Hendrickson still without a deal? I have no idea, but that's a different podcast. That's not the one we record. But either way, I just think the Rams are going to be more dedicated to the run. It seems like a goofy reason, but like we were saying before, these small little micro reasons that don't seem that important really do become important when you're looking at players that are back-to-back. So I think we're definitely in a consensus on that one. Now, getting into our final couple players we are going to talk about, we're going to go over to the quarterback position. A couple guys going pretty close to one another in ADP right now. Mr. Bo Nix of the Denver Broncos and the fantasy favorite Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals. They're both fairly runny boys. They can both scoot. But if you had to pick Bo Nix or Kyler Murray in 2025?
I also have them back-to-back. And I've been pretty vocal about really supporting Bo Nix and being a person who's going out and actively acquiring Bo Nix. He's a guy that I have him as a QB1 on a dynasty startup I had this season, and I feel pretty comfortable about it. But in this case, I think I'm leaning Kyler. I have Kyler ranked a spot ahead of him. There's some players in between in the kind of overall rankings that I have. And it's pretty simple for me. Kyler Murray has never finished outside of the top 10 in a full season that he's played. In fact, he's never finished outside of the top 10 when he's played 14 games. And he's done this 4 years. So I think everyone's kind of feeling Kyler Murray like, what have you done for me lately? Like, if you look at the last 3 years are rough. He finished, you know, quarterback 10 last year. Didn't feel great, but still quarterback 10. But then he missed time the year before. He finished 26. Only played 11 games in 2022. That was 19. So people kind of look at that body of work and it doesn't feel great, but he was hurt. When Kyler Murray is healthy, and I don't project for injury, right? I all the players are healthy as far as I'm concerned right now, and that's how I play fantasy football. He's just a guy that has shown four times that when he plays a full season or at least 14 games, he's a top 10 quarterback. And for me, that's enough for me to get him ahead of Bo Nix. While I like Bo Nix, and Bo Nix did finish as the quarterback 7 last year, it was just one season, right? So do we see some sophomore regression? I don't think so, but I'm also, there's some tape that's been seen from other defenses, and now they have a full year of Bo Nix tape, and they come back and they find out ways to slow him down. We know he's not the most talented quarterback, right? Because I was out on Bo Nix going into the season. But the fact that he pulled this around is pretty crazy to me, and I'm back in on Bo Nix. But I also can't say there's not a chance that, you know, things don't go as well or go swimmingly for him in 2025. I think they do. I think he continues his success. I think he continues to be a top 10 running back. Well, he does run. Quarterback?
Yeah.
But for me, it's just I've seen it so much with Kyler Murray. When he plays a full season, he's a top 10 lock. Bo Nix, we got one season. Yeah, he was quarterback 7. But I'm not necessarily sure how the second year looks. I'm betting then it's going to be good. But if given, you know, an opportunity to have to choose between the two, I'll take the consistency with Kyler Murray.
Now that makes sense. I think you present pretty good arguments for both, but I have plenty of time to think about that because the next one of these articles that is coming out is my thoughts between Bo Nix and Kyler Murray. Hey, how's that for a teaser? How's that for an ending? How is that for the Crossing Routes podcast? If you guys want to check out any of those articles that I've been doing, I'll have the main link in the description. Be sure to check out all the cool stuff we have over there at ftnfantasy.com. We have all sorts of goodies, podcast articles, different things you can check out. Until next time, when we talk about some more quarterback stuff in our next episode, I am Herms, he is Tyler O, and we are saying goodbye. Think about how far we come just to say goodbye and staying up and sleeping late.